Welcome to another episode of the Data Revolution podcast. This is where we explore the intersection of society, culture, data, and technology. This podcast offers insights into the evolving role of data and AI in shaping our world. I'm your host, Kate Carruthers, and this time I will be talking with Jody Miners. She is a technology generalist who helps small businesses by building bespoke systems to support their business. But one thing she also specializes in is cybersecurity, and this is a key part of the systems that a small business needs. She helps them to make cybersecurity as much a part of their business as sending an invoice or creating a new project. Welcome, Jody. It's great to have you on the podcast.
I've wanted to be on this podcast for so long.
Well, I'm really excited about this topic because this is a small business kind of topic and it's a cyber topic, and that's a bit different to what we've had on so far. So why don't you explain what we're going to have a chat about?
So we're chatting about the SMB 1001, a standard for small businesses in cybersecurity. So it's really quite cool.
Well, why don't you explain, unpack that a bit for the listeners, because not everybody's as interested in cybersecurity as I am.
Yeah, so we've previously had things like you've got the Essential Eight, which is what the government says that every business should do. But it's a really difficult thing for small businesses to attain. So some really clever folks in Queensland have got together and produced a standard of which small businesses can go through all of the steps and then assess themselves against each one of the controls and the prerequisites in the standard, and then get a certification at the end to say they are bronze level, silver level, or gold level, or even higher. But those three levels, the director of a business can self-attest and sign a document to say, we're doing this in our business, so therefore we've got this level of cybersecurity for our business.
That's good. And it actually sounds as if it is actually achievable by small business, because I'm really conscious that when talking about the Essential Eight, even at a really large research university, we weren't able to do the Essential Eight, not all of them anyway.
Yeah. And so with all the other competing things that small businesses have to do, and they have to be everything to everyone, cybersecurity is probably the last thing on their mind. But we need to get to the cybersecurity in the mind of small businesses and getting them acting on that. So this framework gives them that step-by-step, you know, like they don't know where to start. So this framework gives them that step-by-step thing that they can do to actually get to the level that they need to.
And that's probably the hardest thing, because if you just think about a small business, and I've run a small business, you've run a small business, you're a one person does everything. So you're the cybersecurity, you're the finance department, you're the sales department, you're everything. And understanding what you need to do to protect your business's data is kind of a black box for many people.
Yeah.
So do you want to run through what the key steps are?
Yeah, certainly. So as I said, there's three levels before the small businesses can self-attest to. There are two levels that are higher that are externally audited. So the whole thing is about getting you on a path where you might want to get to ISO 27001 standard, which is ensuring you have good IT systems in place. But for the gold, silver, and bronze, so I've got gold, and so I'd like to talk about gold. Mm-hmm. So things in that, like having a password manager, having a firewall, having making sure you do secure document destruction, making sure that you've got a privacy policy, and you've got a cybersecurity policy, and you've got an incident response plan, and everything there in all of those steps is 26 controls or 26 steps that you have to follow, and you have to prove to yourself where you sign this document that you have done these steps. So for me, it was, okay, I've done most of them, But I hadn't done, I needed to get my backups more comprehensive across all of my systems. I didn't have my Gmail backed up, so my Google Workspace. So now I've got my Google Workspace backed up. For me, I needed to ensure that I wasn't logged into my computer as an admin and wasn't
Oh.
logged into my Google as an admin. So I've now got Google as a regular user, and that's what I log into, but I don't have administrative controls on that account, so I have to log in as a separate account for admin. So there's just all these really good, really sensible, pretty easy to attain controls to get for the small business to do.
And can you just outline what are kind of some of the benefits to a business from doing this? Like, just self-attesting is not very interesting, but there's my dog running across the background. But some of the benefits that will improve data protection for the business.
So anything that you do, like multi-factor authentication, is a really key thing for any business systems that you have. So you take, for example, your Google account, your Outlook account, to ensure you've got multi-factor authentication on it, so that if it is accessed externally, there is at least a prompt that you'll get to say, "Hey, I didn't actually authorize that," say no when the prompt comes up. So that's one good way of protecting your data. And one of the things about the SMB 1001 is it's probably going to become, the push is to get it to become as part of your supply chain risks for a so a larger business who has, it works with small businesses to have to work with their data. Like I'd work with larger businesses and I worked with their data. So it's ensuring that those their as a client, their sorry, their contractors have this SMB 1001, so they know that they've got at least a basic level of security, so that their data is protected. So I think we'll see a lot more now that larger businesses will say, "Okay, to contract with us, you need to get the SMB 1001." And the thing is, it's not just an Australian standard, it is a global standard. So there are, rolled out now in Australia, New Zealand, and it's heading towards the UK and the US, and of course, and some of the Pacific nations also are taking it off at the moment.
That's really interesting. So it'll become a de facto standard. So it could be an actual benefit for companies that are wanting to get contracts
Yes,
and
that's
may
right.
become mandatory.
Yes, that's right. I would love to see it become much more pushed for small businesses to do this, because it doesn't have the overhead, the cost, and the level of detail required for ISO 27001. Most small businesses don't need to get to ISO 27001, and it's just a bit of over too much on their shoulders to do that. So this is a really good, this is like you're not doing nothing, you are saying, signing a declaration to say that you as your business are doing these things. What it also does is puts that onus back on the director of the business, because they're the one who has to sign this. So under the new ASIC, push to get directors much more responsible for this and boards much more responsible for this, and you've talked about this in your last couple of podcasts about getting the board on side and getting directors on side, it really hones into that area that directors need to be a part of this process.
That's a really good point. So, so the directors will need to understand this process and understand what they're certifying. And then the other thing is that larger enterprises will be able to adopt this as part of their procurement standards. So it'll be reducing their third party risk. So I think it'll be really good for smaller businesses.
And the great thing about the standard is you have to re-attest every single year, but it's also what they call a dynamic standard. So there is a very a board of about 15 people that from all areas of industry in Australia that are running this standard and updating the standard each year. So this year there was an additional one control put on that I got mine sort of earlier in the year. And so next year when I sign, I have to, or this year when I sign it again, I have to ensure that I met that other control.
Oh,
So
what's the other control?
the one that was added in is ensuring that you have a VPN if you use any computer over remote desktop protocol.
All right. Oh, the thought that people are RDPing in just still makes my blood run cold.
I live in a world of cloud only, so for me to RDP into a server is very, very unusual.
Yeah, but you know, the fact that there are people out there not understanding that how important it is to use a VPN for that sort of thing is a really good thing. So having this kind of checklist approach is really, really powerful.
So it's excellent. So for me, I went through the process myself, and so as I said, there was the benefit for me was to be able to sleep at night, because I sort of thought I was doing things right, but you're just not 100% sure, and there's things you can definitely do better, like the admin on the PC. You cringe when I said that.
No, because we all log on as local admins.
And I'm something I resisted for so long, but now that I've done it and realized that it's actually not too bad, it's actually so much more comfortable, because the thing is, I know that I am going to click on a link in an email. There's no training that can happen to me that will stop me, prevent me clicking on a link in an email, because like other small businesses, I work really fast. I'm just doing things and just, doing things a bit more, bit sort of on autopilot. So I know that I'm going to click on a link, right? So the things for me is, once I even got the SMB 1001, it wasn't quite enough. So I've got an extra, what they call an endpoint detection and response software. So it will double check that if I click on a link, that it won't do anything malicious on my computer. But the fact is that I'm not logged in as an admin now. I know that my computer won't, inadvertently install something. So that's actually really good. So it's these really low-level things, easy to fix things that, we don't have need small businesses running a SIEM, or we don't need small businesses, installing the latest, big technology thing that many small businesses are offered as, give me one cybersecurity, please, sir. And they offer these, lots of different software. We've got to start from the people and the processes within the business first before we tackle the technology. But there are some technology components to the SMB 1001, including things like the backup.
And things like the password manager, which a lot of people don't realize, you can start off for free. There are open source password managers, and there are really affordable open source options that people can use, things like Bitwarden, that even for an enterprise is quite affordable. So these things don't have to cost the world, and you can really secure your assets much more effectively.
And then you may not need to go through a full single sign-on option, but you might have a password manager where you only give out the ability to log in to your staff without them seeing the passwords and things. And one of the other controls in the gold level is not sharing logins
Oh
to.
yeah, that's so important. The amount of that that happens out there in the world, people don't realize, but even in really large organizations, people just log in as their boss to approve something.
That's right. And
So pernicious.
there's no audit trail, and that, for the data protection side of things, is just so critical that you've got an audit trail of who was logged in when, and so that you can, if something happens, it's a cover your ass type of situation, so again, that's where I come back to it, that allows me to sleep better at night, that I know that I've got these really basics covered. And it's just such a weight off my mind. But the other thing is, I've actually got to maintain all of this. I've got to ensure my backups are being maintained. I've got to ensure that I don't install anything untoward on my computer. So it is a what I want to ensure that people in small businesses have it as a business as usual thing. right? So my business is in technology, so it's easy for me to get this as business as usual. And so I understand that it's, you know, going to be a bit of an uplift for other small businesses, but it is actually really achievable.
Well, so one of the interesting questions that pops into my mind is, what sort of advice would you give to a small business that wants to start out? We'll share links to the standard and stuff in the show notes, but what sort of advice would you give to people who want to just start out with this journey?
Yeah, well, and the great thing is there's some such great free resources out there. And I've actually done a guide for DIY small business cybersecurity. So that if you are really interested and you want to actually just start this process yourself with no cost, because there is some costs involved in getting gold level certification because it's got backup and it's got a password manager, etc. But to get the bronze level, the very first basic thing to say you're on this journey, there's really no costs involved. One other thing is you have to have a trusted advisor for your organization, like someone who knows something about IT. So this is, you know, not your uncle's brother's son's, you know, thing who is a bit cluey with technology and who set up your FPOS machine. This is actually having someone who can guide you through. And, you know, that can be something like me, or it can be an MSP or any of your regular IT providers. In having that, then we just want to make it as simple as possible. So in my guide for DIY, there is great government resources through the Australian Cybersecurity Centre, where they've really got a whole section focused on small business, and it's excellent resources. Then there's the ID Care, which is a program that is now government funded, where a small business can sort of do a questionnaire and then get an hour with a cybersecurity expert to let them know what are the things that they need to be doing in their business. Now, even for a business like mine, they told me things that you could possibly be doing to really enhance my cybersecurity. So they're really...
And you're even working in the cybersecurity space. So yes. If it even helped you with your small business...
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a great free resource.
It was a great, excellent resource, and the fact that it's free and just gives you that comfort that you're on the right track and that you've got it. And then there's some excellent training that is also free and also government funded. It's through COSBOA, the Council of Small Businesses Australia, and it's called Cyber Wardens. So of course, one of the key features of them, one of the controls of the SMB, is to have training for all of your staff. So the training is not it's not something you have to buy, not something you have to go out there and, you know, sign up to a plan that you get people giving you emails every month to say, watch this 5-minute training. There is this free tool that really helps small businesses just getting over the basics. It's pretty basic training, but it's just really helps with those basics.
Well, so many small business people, you know, they've never had training, their staff have never had training, so that will make a real difference.
Yes.
And, you know, you mentioned the Australian Cybersecurity Centre. They've really stepped up their efforts to start to reach out to, they used to basically deal with the big end of town, now they're reaching out to small business, which is really pleasing to see.
And also even individuals, because even part of this small business stuff is your individual security, because so many small business and, you know, even larger businesses, but so many people are working from home. So what about your home network? How, you know, are there any teenagers coming and playing Minecraft in your home and plugging things into your Wi-Fi, you know? So that we've got to also, as a small business owner, we've also got to think about where our staff are, what their home stuff is. So there's excellent resources on personal security on that, and there's excellent resources for small business. And the thing is, they've got, you know, if there's anything that you don't understand after reading those resources from the Australian Cybersecurity Centre, then, you know, come and talk to someone like me. And, you know, just don't let that be a thing that stops you from doing anything because you say, I don't understand, it's all too hard, right? So there are people there that can help. Like we can work out a program to do a guided help you through this process. So you've got do it yourself or come and get some help and do a guided process.
I think one of the really important things for people to understand is the option to just do nothing now has gone away because everybody is vulnerable. And it used to be, you know, you'd be in your shop running your small business in your shop. But now, increasingly, your shop is not just your shop. Your shop is an online shop, so there are people doing fulfillment from other locations. Yep. So we've got people everywhere working in our businesses now. And so we've got real cyber and information security risk emerging. So even small businesses that might not realize they've got all this cyber risk now do.
Yes.
And it's things like ransomware. So if your data got ransomwared, do you have a backup that's not on the same network as that ransomware? Because otherwise you might lose all your customer data.
Yep. And, you know, what happens if your shopping cart software, you know, gets compromised? What happens if you can't access your shopping cart software? How is it going to impact your business continuity? You know, one of my clients just went jet skiing one day and lost his phone off the back of the jet ski.
Oh, my God.
And then he couldn't make payroll that week because his MFA codes for his bank were on his phone only. So we've got to think about all of these things that may happen. You know, where if you're living in Brisbane or Queensland at the moment, you know about the risk, right? Because you've got a big cyclone coming down on you. So it's exactly like that. Like 5 years ago, we would never have thought that a major cyclone could cross over, you know, Brisbane and the Gold Coast, but it's there now, okay? So we think about the way cybersecurity was a few years ago, you'd have this thought that, oh, look, I'm too small. No one wants to get my stuff, or a security through obscurity. And we just can't do that anymore. And the thing is that it's not a huge cost. It's not a huge, you know, technical uplift. There are some just really basic, simple things that you can do that will become business as usual.
Yeah, and need to become business as usual. So, you know, I do encourage people go and get password managers. Yes. I was literally talking to a friend the other day and they had written down the password wrong and they pulled out a paper book and I'm like, no, please don't do that.
Look, a paper book is fine. You know, my mum had things written down on a paper book because she had dementia. Now, that's fine for that thing because, well, the risk is low, right? But not for your business systems that holds your client data.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like the example of that guy that lost his phone, in your password manager, you can save your backup codes.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
So that if you've lost your phone, you can just log on another device, use one of your backup codes to approve payroll.
Yes. Do you know that I completely dropped and shattered my phone whilst I was at the Tate Modern Museum in London, visiting there one day? And funnily enough, I happened to have my backup phone in my bag. But so I had no password manager, no ticket to get back on the train, no nothing. And so I just had to sit there at the Tate Modern sort of resetting up my all of my passwords and access on my backup phone.
Yeah. And trying to do that from scratch would imagine doing that for your business. That would be very stressful.
Exactly. So, like, the business continuity part of it is just so important, just like every single aspect of your business, what happens if you can't do it, you know? So even to the point of I have my will set up, so what happens when I die and my business gets wound down? You know, people don't like to think about this, but it's so important because you can't leave anyone else just to sort of, like, fuddle their way through and find out, you know, where's the password to the email server in the back shed, you know. It's really important.
Yeah, and that's something people might not have joined up from. You know, we're talking about a security standard, a cybersecurity standard, but it really does have real implications for business continuity.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of those practices like backups offsite and stuff will be really helpful for the people in Brisbane who may well be flooded, or the people in poor old Lismore who may be underwater tomorrow.
Yes, and something like that, that's sort of where we are confronted with that. Like my sister had a tree fall down last night on the Gold Coast. It was big enough to fall on the house. It happened to fall the other way. So it's, you know, it's just that understanding that risk. And so she said, she's gone around today and said she's done a risk assessment on the house and all the other trees, and she should be right. So it's understanding that level of risk that we've got, right? And those levels of risks have risen, whether it be from climate change, whether it be from any form of cyber incident that may happen. And the thing is, like, I listened to a podcast recently, and it was this hacker guy, and he was just saying about it doesn't matter. The thing I got back from it was it doesn't matter. You're just in the way of this hacker trying to get to this other dude. You might be a golf buddy, you might be a, you know, a hairdresser or something of this person that they're trying to get to, and you're just in the way. So you'll be taken over and you will be compromised, and they don't care about you. You are of no consequence to them. Or the people doing, you know, just spraying out passwords that have been compromised and trying to take over anything that they get a hit on. So it's not about you. You don't matter, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to be ahead of the game in this. You've got to be part of this process now.
I think you just touched on a really important point because it's not personal. Like these people, the people that do these attacks, they used to rob banks because that was the easy thing for them to do. Now they can sit in their jammies in their mother's basement and just do drive-bys of, you know, stealing passwords, trying them. And if you don't have things like multi-factor authentication turned on, you've got no protection against them. And it's not personal. They just want their money or the next target that they're trying to get.
So you said the very first thing that one of the things should be a password manager. For me, the very first thing is multi-factor authentication. But actually, even before you can do multi-factor authentication, you've got to know about your data. You've got to know what data it is. And it's like this is just saying
Data
exactly
governance,
what
yay.
you say on your podcast all of the time. So I've just got to bring it back to data all the time. I'm sorry, I can't say data. Sorry.
You say data, die.
Yes.
I say data. Anyway, I've just spent too much time working for American corporations, I think. I've been brainwashed. But no, I'm delighted to hear data governance get a Guernsey because it's so fundamental to this whole project. And it's a big, scary term, but it just means knowing your data.
Yeah, it just means knowing where your data is, knowing what applications you're using, and knowing, like, it could be something as simple as you've created a beautiful presentation to the board in Canva, and it's got all of your secrets for what's coming up in the next few years, you know, or in Google Slides or something like that. So it's not only your customer's name, address, phone number, email that was just hacked in, you know, every single breach that's been happened recently. It's not only that, it is, you know, your business secrets, your business plans, your anything that can affect your business continuity that, you know, that could be a problem. So, you know, and we just spin up so many apps. I'm bad at this. I do this. We spin up so many apps and tried it so many apps. And so that was one of the things that I had to do. And so like, okay, I need to get, you know, close this app down, close this app down. I need to get rid of the three different backup devices that I have, and only have one good backup device because I've got to keep them updated. So I've got to make sure I log into the backup device very often and make sure that it's updated and have auto updates turned on.
Testing your backups. So
Yes.
I got caught one time when I was an IT manager and we lost every Exchange server around the country in every state. And when I went back to the backups, the earliest backup we could get was 6 months old because the guy that was doing the backups wasn't testing them. And that I was pretty new at that job, and it was just like, give me a reason why I shouldn't fire you. And he said, I haven't got one. So he got fired. But it was literally the first time I was like, what do you mean you weren't testing the backups? Why didn't you check that they were working?
And you know, for a small business, that's a really sort of, you know, hard thing to do. That it's like, okay, I've got to rely on, I have backups. Like, so for me, it's like I would get onto my backup system and at least download a few things occasionally. I wouldn't test to do a full
No,
restore.
you just need to see if you can get stuff
Make
out
sure
of
you can
it.
get stuff out of it. And you know, the thing is, people, especially small businesses, rely on the email so much. So having your email backed up is just so important. And I just think there's a sort of misconception out there that if you've got a cloud server, it's backed up. Now, the thing is, it's backed up from their point of view. So if they fall down, that they can restore your data to some point. But it's not backed up from your point of view. If you do something with your data, if you delete your data, if you have your end compromised and your data is missing, it's not backed up from your point of view. So you've got to have a backup, even though it's a cloud software.
Yeah, and, you know, some people have like a decade's worth of emails in there that they rely on to run their business. So that's a really important point.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and for me, it's sort of paying that, it's only $150 a year, but paying the extra bit of money to have that that backup software on my Gmail, my Google Workspace, on my my CRM system, on my other things. That was just really important for me, yeah.
Many years ago, I worked in government, and we did some business continuity planning. And one of the things we realized was that our core system wasn't our most important system. The system we needed brought up overnight, if we lost it, was email.
Yeah.
Because we would send out one big billing run a year, and then people would pay us.
Yeah.
And so the thing that we needed to be able to do was communicate with people. And if we didn't have email, we couldn't keep that money flowing in.
Yeah.
So that was a really big eye-opener, and nobody in the organization wanted to believe us. They were like, oh, we surely need this core system brought up.
Yeah.
And they were like, what you mean email? And I was like, no, if the core system goes down the day we're sending out the invoices once a year, we need it. But apart from that, we need email.
Yeah. It's like at the Gold Coast at the moment, the NBN's down.
Oh, right.
The NBN is meant to have your backup batteries and things like that, but it's not a power issue. So
is it underwater?
I don't know. So it's just like, I think that, again, these are the questions asked after the Lismore issues. We need to ask these questions again, because, you know, that was one thing, how people make phone calls if the NBN's down. So
some really interesting questions.
Yes, that's
but
right.
Thank you, Jody. This was a really helpful session, and first one for our small business community. So I hope people will find it helpful. Thanks for being here.
No problem. Thank you.